Winners and losers of the weekend brought to you by SM Athletics. You can look like a winner, even if your team loses, by getting your gear at SM Athletics. All of your sports, all of your equipment, embroidery needs can be handled by giving SM Athletics a call. Excellent customer service, great products at a fair price, and when they say it's done right and on time every time. Don't chance it with unreliable mega stores or online orders. You want to be able to walk in a store and talk to the people who are helping take care of your order and fulfill it. Stop by or give SM Athletics a call today at 865-966-3434. That's 865-966-3434, or visit online at smathletics.com. smathletics.com. Winners and losers of the weekend. Sam, please hit the music.
Winners and losers of the weekend.
No, you know, it's really not funny anymore, man. You just pick some music. I mean, dude, it's okay.
Succession theme? Y'all want that? Should that be the new one?
I don't think we're supposed to take those guys from that show as winners, really.
Yeah.
I'll play the intro again.
Bob, who won this weekend?
Okay, my winners. Number three. We've talked a lot about this, but Anthony Edwards, my God. It's like each passing playoff game's a kind of a coming out party for him. And Saturday night, he was unbelievable. I don't know what else there is to say. He's, like we said, kind of the new heir apparent, the new face of the league, and he's only 22. It's incredible.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are must-watch TV right now.
Sure are.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And Anthony Edwards talked after the game about, I mean, he's a walking quote, too, in terms of just talking and giving what you want as an athlete. But said, hey, playing for Team USA got me ready for this, and it gets me excited for the Olympics and just that dynamic. Is he going to be the alpha of that team, too, on a team with LeBron James and Steph Curry and some other guys? Is that going to be Ant's team? Is he just going to take over the league this summer? I'm interested to see.
Yeah, I agree. Number two. New York Knicks and New York Rangers. This takes me back a little bit, to be honest with you, but those two together and their success so far in the playoffs, it's still kind of early, but they're trending in a good direction. Reminds us of 1994 in terms of when the Knicks and the Rangers, I think the Knicks were in the NBA Finals, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup. I was fortunate enough to be up there in New York when all that was happening. So it takes me back. But if you're a New York fan, I think it's good for professional sports, too. Although Sam wants the Knicks to lose as soon as possible. I think that it's a good flashback for sure. And then number one for winners for me was Madonna. Madonna comes out of nowhere, has a free concert in Rio de Janeiro. 1.6 million people in attendance. Biggest standalone concert for any artist, male or female, in history. 1.6 million. That sounds absolutely miserable to me, but it's pretty impressive.
1.6 million?
1.6 million. The shots they were showing, it was just like, it was amazing. I couldn't believe. I don't even know, you know, if you're where, you know, if you're way in the back of that, what are you seeing or hearing, honestly?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Are they that star for, like, American culture that they, like, still show up for Madonna?
Yeah.
That,
it's good for her.
It's great for her. It's a nice flex for her. But, I mean, I can't imagine they're selling any tickets for that.
No. No, that's what I'm saying. It was free.
So, I mean, like, I don't know if she made a lot of money for doing it, but gets to add her name to the record books.
Yeah, maybe a legacy play for her more than anything.
My winners of the weekend, number three, I went with Netflix Live. Just thought it was another solid weekend for that as they try to ramp up and become a TV network, essentially, and try to work out the kinks. They got Monday Night Raw coming soon as they're going to try to do it every week in terms of putting on professional wrestling. But I thought the roast went well. I didn't have any buffering issues. I know you said at the very beginning you had a little bit.
Just a little slow, that was all. Just,
yeah, maybe I was late to the party and they'd got it figured out by then. But for me, it was good. It was nice, and I didn't see anybody really, you know, complaining about that, which is nice progress since the Love is Blind reunion that they
exactly.
had, because it was terrible in that go-around. Number two, I went with hip-hop, just more diss tracks, like five of them dropped on from Friday to Sunday, five or six of them, hell, just one after another. I made a loser of the weekend maybe like a month ago or 3 weeks ago when J. Cole did his whole, I apologize, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, which maybe he should be a winner too, because, you know, he saw what was coming. He's like, I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want to be involved in all the skeletons coming out of the closet. But I thought it was a nice weekend of rap. So hip-hop, my number two winner. Number one, I went with NBA stars who sound like insects. Anthony Edwards, Spida, Donovan Mitchell. I know spiders aren't insects. I know because I Googled it to make sure. Because I was like, I don't think they are, but let me Google it. And they said, no, they aren't. But they still sound like insects. When I hear insect and you hear spider, like, you're like, oh, yeah, those are related. They are distant ancestors or distant relatives. So, like, you know, maybe they have some insect blood in them. I don't know. But NBA stars who sound like insects. Anthony Edwards taking over the league. Donovan Mitchell going to go down in history as not a winner, as not like an all-time great player, but as one of the all-time great playoff performers. Like, he averages 29, 30 points a game in the playoffs. He's a great playoff performer, and he kind of added to that legacy this weekend and at least got them a playoff series win.
I was struck, too, by how he Darius Garland was having a rough day, and how he was there. He was being a real leader, Mitchell was. You know, he was there really trying to prop him up. And, again, for whatever reason, I've always been not a big Donovan Mitchell fan, but I came away liking him more after yesterday's game. But they're going to get killed by Boston.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. Although they got size, so maybe if Jared Allen can come back and Porzingis stays out, maybe Cleveland goes super big. And who knows, Max Strus, maybe he is a Celtics killer from his days with the Heat. Maybe they just shoot really good from three. I don't think so. I think they're going to get killed, but maybe they can steal a couple games just off of size. Sam, anybody we missed?
I had two guys. I had Chris Kim. He was a 16-year-old playing this week. On the PGA Tour, he made the cut rounds of 68 and 67, youngest golfer since 2013 to make a cut on tour. Finished up decent, I guess, on the weekend, one under and then a couple over on Sunday. But 16 years old, finishes six under for a tournament in the PGA Tour. Very, very impressive from him.
Did he make any money? Not, right?
No, he can't make any money. He's an amateur.
I did see that he said the thing he was most excited about was getting back home and getting his driver's license, though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That guy, I'm happy to hear he finished, what, minus six?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about where the guy I picked in my one and done pool did, Jason Day.
There you go. There
Jesus. Sorry.
What did the winner finish at?
Like 20 something.
Okay, so 6 under is not that impressive then.
23 yeah. under.
I mean, I'm not taking away from the 16-year-old, but I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like he was anywhere near contention.
No,
like,
no, yeah.
He got beat by 17 strokes.
Yeah. But
no, good for him. Didn't make any money.
Right.
Maybe some down the road, maybe. Although, I remember one major, there was like some 15-year-old fat amateur that was out there that like was somewhat on the leaderboard.
You just can't make anything.
But then, like, I don't think he like ever turned in anything, but like he had his moment in the sun, but like he was like 15, 16 years old. But
and then that kid, not this year, but last year, the kid from A&M, Sam Bennett, you know, mm-hmm. he was like top 10, and they were like, man, he's going to find his way back into the Masters next year. Oh, can't make any money. Like, suck.
Yeah, has he been anything? Is he still a factor?
No, I think he's still playing college golf, to be honest with
okay.
you.
Okay.
I don't think he's turned pro officially.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though.
I can always count on you to tell me some obscure golf story on winners and losers of the weekend. What was the other one you said you had, too?
I had the UFL kicker, Jake Bates. I think I've mentioned this kid before, but he will be on an NFL roster very soon. Hit another 60-yard field goal. So far in the UFL, he's got field goals from 64, 62, 60, 55, and 52. Kid's got a leg.
He had a 60-yarder this weekend that looked like it was good from 70.
Yeah, and it's just like right down the middle, too.
He's a stud.
He's a beast. Those are my two winners.
He's going to get to the NFL and lose it, and he's going to be
back in the UFL. Yeah, like four more weeks.
Some fan base is going to really hate this guy next year because they're going to hear about how awesome he is, and then he's going to get in front of big stadiums with loud fans, and he's going to just start shanking kicks.
Yeah.
I was going to say shanking shots, but they do not shoot the ball; they kick the ball. Mm-hmm. All right, loser of the weekend, Bob. What do you got?
Number three. This will be his first appearance probably in losers ever, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know if you saw what's starting to break out this past weekend on him, but it's some heavily negative stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen anything with this.
It's been mostly about how difficult he is to work with. And it started with, it's a movie that they're producing for Amazon that got pushed back to November. It was supposed to release this summer, called Red One. And, part of it is they're so far behind schedule on it, and it's all attributable to him, because he typically, not just every once in a while, typically shows up late to set by hours all the time, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, because he wants to get his workout in, because he's got other stuff to do. And then what came out after that was there was also a movie that he did with Ryan Reynolds for Netflix. I think, what was it called? Was it Red Note? It was him and Gal Gadot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now there's talk that Reynolds and him had an incredible feud during filming of that, and it was all attributable to The Rock never showing up on time, ever. And I mean, again, not just a little bit late. Like, you know, they created massive production delays. They had to shoot around scenes where he was supposed to be in them and everything else. And then there's all sorts of other little nitpicky things about how he behaves on set. It's floating around everywhere on the internet right now. And it's like, you know, when you're somebody who's got it going like he always does, you got to be careful, because people will try to pick away, and boy, they're starting to pile on this stuff.
Yeah, they were supposed to be making a sequel to that Red Note movie or whatever, but I don't know if it was such a bad experience, if Ryan Reynolds would sign up for that, you know, with the Deadpool stuff going on. And he doesn't necessarily need to do a Netflix movie to make that money if he truly hated working with The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, there was some rumblings that started. I mean, him and Vin Diesel hate each other on Fast and Furious, but I think most people probably gave The Rock the benefit of the doubt in that one, because Vin Diesel's such a weird person that was also trying to, like, protect the Fast and Furious legacy, and it was kind of weird when it came to that. But then the Black Adam stuff kind of took it to another level, where he wouldn't do any crossover movies with Henry Cavill and the Superman stuff. He wanted Black Adam to be the main focus, and I guess maybe The Rock's a little bit of a diva.
Guess so. Yeah. It's inevitable, man. When you get that big, it seems to always happen.
It's not good timing with him being, like, playing a heel persona in wrestling either, though, because, like, you don't want to start, like, actually coming across like a jerk on screen, because then the jerk stories behind the scenes actually hit more, and you're like, this might actually just be him being himself.
Well, and I thought of you when, remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago where he was late to the event in Philadelphia. You know?
Yeah, he was 2 hours late. That's right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Looks like a pattern. Number two, did anybody check out the movie Unfrosted?
No.
The Jerry Seinfeld movie that just got released on Netflix.
I saw it, but I didn't hear anything about it until this week, and I didn't watch it.
Yeah, don't hurry. It's it's not good. It's about the creation of the Pop-Tart. And it's like the feud between Post and Kellogg's, and has a great cast. I mean, it's got Seinfeld, Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer. It's not good. And, you know, he made an appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend to kind of prop it up. I just never thought Seinfeld would do something worse than, I was going to say his series finale for Seinfeld, but also B-Movie, which I don't know if you remember seeing that. It was an animated movie that he came out with, which was not good. This is not great. It's getting panned in a lot of places. There's been a few fans, but it's getting...
Wait a minute, Bob. Are you saying B-Movie is bad?
I thought B-Movie was bad.
No. Come on. That's a classic.
Oh God!
Sounds like you might have been too old for it, Bobby. I don't think it was geared towards you.
Well, it was. So let's think about that. That was 2007. Sam, you must have been about six.
Yeah. Now, I mean, like the woman, like the bee and the woman kind of fall in love together, right? Like
it's a good story, man.
Right, but like that's kind of like, doesn't she fall in love with the bee? It seems that way. I don't remember really watching it. I was too old to watch Bee Movie at that point.
I had to. I was with my kids.
Sure.
So, yeah. But I
was just one DVD I had that was always on like road trips. throwing B movie at some point.
Yeah, I'm not the target. I'm not the target audience demographic for that. So
50% from the critics, 53% from the audience. So I'm going to give Bob the nod here.
I mean, has any animated movie ever just killed Rotten Tomatoes?
Almost every animated movie kills Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I would say animated movies, especially the good ones, like with high dollars behind them from like Pixar and DreamWorks and all that. I would say all of them are like in the 80s at least.
You think?
Yeah. Because it's easy to have great animated movies because you don't have to worry about acting. It's just, you just got to have the story. Like, every Toy Story is going to be like in the 90s.
Don't mess around with my animated film knowledge, Sam.
Toy Story, I feel like, is a lot more impressive than...
Well, yeah, I mean yeah, sure.
I'm trying to think of a B-movie comparison.
I don't know. Like, Up's going to be like in the 90s. I mean,
that's
like...
bigger than B-movie.
Now, Up made me tear up.
Up's good.
Well, I mean... the B movie might not be that big, Sam, because it might not have been that good. Like, so like you saying, well, these other movies are bigger. Well, yeah, because they're good.
I got like multiple ones though.
I mean, the B movie really 2007? Yeah, because I would have guessed like 2003 or so, but
I would have guessed later. I would have guessed like 9 or 10. I think.
Okay.
All right. Don't see Unfrosted. You don't. You're just
Jerry Seinfeld doesn't really scream movie star, so no. I wasn't planning on watching it. No. And yeah, not to pile on, but you said great cast, and then hit me with Amy Schumer and Hugh Grant in 2024, which I don't really have any interest in seeing either one of them. Hugh Grant was a huge movie star, but like I haven't seen him in anything good in 20 years, really. Amy Schumer, I think we've kind of turned on her officially. And Melissa McCarthy, I mean, I like her.
Yeah, I love Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. Gaffigan I like, too.
Not as a movie star, though, really.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, number one. It's kind of linked, I was going to say Pat Beverly, but really it's about ESPN. And the reason I say that is we know at this point everything Pat Beverly did at the end of that Pacers-Bucks series, and it's reprehensible, all that. And ESPN went out and said, no, we're banning him from the network for future appearances. Okay, that was Friday. On Saturday, they walked back their stance and said that Beverly is not banned and that no action was taken against him. And so this contradicts a policy that credentialed press had gone out with from ESPN. So they changed their message in a 24-hour span.
So ESPN basically claimed they never did anything, though. So they're saying the report was erroneous. So, yeah. Like, do you buy that, or do you think ESPN buckled and reversed course? Because when I saw the headline, I assumed they had just somebody had gotten the story wrong, and ESPN never did anything at all.
I don't know. What I'm reading is they're saying that these media outlets had direct knowledge that this was their position, and direct meaning they heard it from ESPN.
Well, I think they should just sever ties with him if he's going to be mean to ESPN reporters, that girl. I mean, yeah. I don't think you need Pat Beverly on The Jump or whatever the NBA Live show is.
No, and I mean, he's going to be a free agent anyway. It'll be really interesting. I bet you he doesn't even get picked up by a team. I think this might be the end for him, honestly. He's a little bit older.
Did either of you happen to see Nick Wright, his like 3-minute takedown of Patrick Beverly?
Yeah,
I saw the tease for it on X, and then I never opened it up.
It was worth the watch.
It was. I'm really not a Nick Wright guy at all, and it was a pretty good video.
Yeah,
I like Nick Wright, and I hate Patrick Beverly. Like, I don't like love Nick Wright or anything, but I like him. I find him to be funny. But I've hated Patrick Beverly for like 4 or 5 years, ever since he hurt Westbrook on that cheap play where he like went at his knee when they're getting ready to call timeout, and it tore his meniscus. Like, I thought Patrick Beverly was just a cheap shot guy since then. Like, I hate him, but I love the takedown he had of him.
He called out, didn't Beverly call out Chris Paul that one time?
Yeah, so he was a traffic cone. Like, after pushed him in the back after Chris Paul had sent him home. Like, Patrick Beverly's got a long list of bad things he's done. So I was glad to see Nick Wright. It seemed a little personal. It seemed weird for somebody to like punch down almost that Patrick Beverly, like from a media, journalist standpoint. I would have liked to have like had the video play a little bit longer because I would have wanted to hear what like Chris Broussard would say, which I never thought I would say. I was interested in what Chris Broussard would say, but I wanted to see how he responded to Nick Wright. Yeah, just going on a 3-minute ISO of how much he hated Nick, of how much he hated Patrick Beverly and how he was a fraud and sucked at basketball and was a grifter, basically. Hmm. All right, my losers of the weekend. Number three, I went with Kim Kardashian. Mostly because, she got booed at the roast, which I felt bad for. She got booed. She was looking very pretty, though. She was looking great. That's the prettiest.
That was one that didn't need to be in there either.
Well, I think maybe Tom Brady's trying to have sex with her, maybe. Like, it seems like there was those rumors of them dating, so maybe Tom brought her. And like, it did seem like they had a little energy there. And then also, Kim's going to have to deal with Kanye because Tom Brady made a joke about Kanye. And
oh, I didn't hear that.
Kim's like, the look Kim had on her face was like, really? Like, you're just going to open this can of worms back up? Kanye had been kind of chilling, right? Like, he's been laying low. But like Tom Brady's like, Kim got booed and Kim didn't really want to be here. Not because she was scared, but because she didn't want to leave her kids at home with the dad. And Kim was like looking like, oh man, like
I'm gonna have to listen to that. Yeah. That's good.
That was like really the only funny joke I thought Brady had, to be honest. Like I thought Brady's part was pretty cringy, but I did think that line was good. But she's a loser. Number two, Franz Wagner. 1 of 15, a closeout game. That's something that maybe kills your career. Like I don't know if you bounce back from that. At least like if I'm Minnesota, like I'm now wondering, can he be a second or third best player on this team if we're trying to get to where we're going? Maybe he's in the trade package that tries to get them a point guard. And number one, I went with a combo, the horse and NASCAR guy who came close to winning but didn't win. Like, you were so close. You were so close to being winners. And if you're the horse owner, like,
God,
no one's going to pay a big stud fee for the second place in the Kentucky Derby. If he was, like, you know, a tenth of a second faster, you'd be, even more of a millionaire. That horse would be have it made. And since you lost, who knows? Maybe that was your only chance. Maybe you're never in the Derby again.
I had that as well. Opposite side of the photo finish.
Yeah. Anybody else you want to add in?
I had people who continue to pitch to Charlie Condon. Hit his 33rd home run of the season yesterday. Tied the all-time season record in the BB Corps era. He's hit homers in 7 straight games. He's absurd. He's really just bringing that Georgia team along, honestly. They're kind of sneaking their way into potentially maybe hosting a regional.
I was going to say they're definitely a tournament team, right, at this point. Like, they're definitely a tournament team and could be a top 16 seed. What a beast. What's the record for the season home run record? Do we know? Look that up during the break and give that to me, because I feel like he has to be closing in on it. Like he's
pacing on it, I've seen.
He hit 7 straight, right? He hit 7 home runs, or he hit home runs in 7 straight games. What a tear.
I think they need him to, like, stay on this pace and get a couple wins in the postseason for him to break the record, I want to say. I'll look it up.
But. Okay. Good batch of winners and losers. Send us a break.
I was raised off a route. This segment brought to you by Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. You want to learn more about a great place to take your RV or camper that's located really close to the Knoxville area. Beautiful parts of East Tennessee, lots of amenities, really well-operated campsite. Go check out tworiversrvresort.com. So one of the things, we've been talking a lot about NBA, and I think another one, and we touched on this last week, but it'd probably be good to talk for a few minutes about this one because it is becoming a super hot topic, and that's regarding the NBA media rights, which is going to result in billions and billions of dollars being spent. And it's for not this season, but not even next season. It'll be rolling into the 25-26 season. And there's all sorts of back and forth that's going on. It appears that Disney and ABC and ESPN will have their piece of the pie. It appears it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Amazon is going to, with Prime Video, have a streaming play that's going to be significant. So then the question is, who gets the third part? Currently, that player would be TNT under the Warner Brothers Discovery umbrella. But now NBC is getting into the mix and has enough money and enough good financial standing to likely put a bid out there that could take Warner Brothers Discovery out of the game. And if that happens, the biggest question is not about the game coverage, but what happens to everybody's favorite pregame, postgame show inside the NBA?
Well, it was pretty much confirmed over the weekend that Ernie would be staying with Warner Sports and staying with Turner Sports with TNT and covering golf and college basketball. So the idea of inside the NBA moving somewhere else is pretty much dead.
Yeah, and I think we're going to learn a lot. This is going to be fast moving, even though this is looking at things over a year down the line. They're talking about getting this thing resolved, not necessarily papered, but having the players resolved in principle as soon as the end of the NBA season. So this is going to be moving pretty quickly, which means it's going to be talked about a lot. And I know Barkley has even been on Dan Patrick saying, he's been very clear, he has provisions in his contract. I wouldn't be surprised if Shaq and Kenny had the same, where Charles is like, I'm going to move on. You know, I'm going to do something else. And so the question is, before Ernie's news kind of came out over the weekend, it felt like maybe the best fit would be someone like Amazon just picking up that show, kind of a lift and shift, and move it over to Amazon. But if you don't have Ernie, that's problematic too, because I mean, that guy he's a total pro, but I think his value to that show can sometimes be really underrated. He's a great captain, so to speak.
Now, who's the guy that does the Tuesday night?
Adam Lefko.
Could he potentially go and try to be the new Ernie if that show was to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Barkley and Kenny and Shaq would do it without Ernie, that's yet to be seen. And ESPN is said to have their sights set on Charles Barkley. I don't know what he could really do for them.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't go to ESPN. Honestly.
Charles Barkley's not actually good at, like, analysis. Like, he's not actually good at that. Like, he's pretty uneducated when it comes to the actual sport. Like, his – and I don't mean to say that, you know, like, because who am I to tell Charles Barkley, you know, who gets credit for being one of the best media members ever, that he's not good. But what I just mean is, like, he's comic relief. When it comes to actually breaking down the games, like, Kenny tries to do it. Kenny's pretty good at it. And Ernie's pretty good at it. Shaq and Charles are just there to talk about when they played, to call out big men, to do interviews when players come on, and like they always get excited to talk to Shaq and Charles, and like to be there and be funny. So like if you're telling me Charles is being courted by ESPN, I'm wondering why. Because like I don't think there's anybody at ESPN that he could really be funny with. Are they just gonna put him on First Take arguing with Stephen A. Smith? Because like otherwise, what's the point? And I think that would lose its appeal. So, like, if I'm Charles Barkley, like, yeah, I'm not going to turn down a bunch of money from one of these networks. But at the same time, I do think he's going to cheapen himself a little bit. And I think, like, him just sticking around and podcasting with Ernie and trying to get that off the ground might be an actual better move for his legacy. I think that show should go out together, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you bring up a good point. Lefko has actually, you know, he's done that show before with those guys where he's filled in for Ernie. It's not the same, but it's probably doable. It'll really be interesting to see. It's a question of whether those guys want to continue on. I mean, Shaq's got so many irons in the fire. I mean, I think he does this TV thing more for fun. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a business play for him at all.
Well, he also like lives in Atlanta, so like it's not hard for him to have to do. Like he just kind of gets to roll out and go. Like if those guys have to end up like, hey, you got to move to Bristol, or hey, you can go to New York where they do First Take, those studios and ESPN, like I don't see that being appealing to those guys at this point in their lives.
No, I agree. I think another wrinkle, so that one, there's a lot to be resolved there, and we can only hope that they can try to keep as much of that band together, although without Ernie there, that just won't be the same. Another wrinkle here is I think we may have even talked about this before, is the in-season tournament, and was that a made-for-TV event? Because they're still saying that, you know, that could be something that ends up with just one entity, and that might be a consolation prize for like a Turner, you know, is getting the in-season tournament, but that's it. I think they're putting a lot of emphasis on the value of that. Now, I enjoyed the in-season tournament, and it might have been because my team got to the championship game. I don't know how it worked for other people. To me, it was hard to follow because they were kind of playing games for a matter of weeks, basically, that teed up the finals. I don't know. They'd have to restructure that for it to be a TV event, I would think.
I thought it was a success. My biggest question about it, though, is just, do teams care about it every year? Because the Lakers and Pacers both went into a little bit of a tailspin after the in-season tournament was over. They came out struggling after that, and Halliburton ends up getting hurt and, you know, is then worried about his games threshold. So, like, you know, I'm wondering if the Stars deemed it as important.
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't take any solace in winning the in-season tournament when they got knocked out of the playoffs, you know, in five games. It wasn't like, oh, well, at least we won the in-season tournament. It was nice to have some meaningful basketball. It was nice to see LeBron and Anthony Davis play in those games. Sure, but like in year three, are those Stars going to feel the same way about it? Because like it's clear that like the intensity it raised a little, but like it didn't get playoff intensity. Like when you watch playoff basketball, like there was a huge difference in, in the in-season tournament versus what we're seeing now in the actual championships on the line.
No, I agree.
Now, if you tell me that Amazon buys, let's just say Amazon buys the in-season tournament, or Turner buys the in-season tournament, and they pay a bunch of money for it, and all of a sudden the prize pool is $10 million for the team instead of $1 million to be split among the players. Because that's kind of what it was, right? Like you basically every player got $100,000, essentially.
I think so, yeah.
Now if that goes to every player gets $1 million and they figure out a way to like incorporate the draft or something in it, like, and they raise the stakes, maybe they could make it a worthwhile thing. But I'm going to guess that the in-season tournament next year has a drop in intensity.
Yeah.
Kind of like the All-Star game. Hey, Kobe dies, they put in this new rule, and everyone tried really hard. And that was the best All-Star game we'd had in 20 years, you know, since Jordan in 03, basically. Then the next year, everyone's back to not playing defense and not caring in the All-Star game, and it's gotten progressively worse. I kind of think the in-season tournament's headed to a similar fate.
Yeah. But make no mistake, what we're learning about Adam Silver is he's going to try to extract every possible dollar of revenue he can out of this new deal. So what I'm getting at is any allegiance to Warner Brothers Discovery, who's, you know, with by way of TNT, has been in the NBA business for about 40 years now in some form or fashion. There's no allegiance to them. It's all going to be about money. And if he can parse up an in-season tournament as a standalone to make additional revenue, he'll do it. I mean, the numbers on this thing will just be mind-blowing, I think, when it's all said and done. And for some reason, I guess it's the nostalgia in me. I talked about that earlier with the Knicks and the Rangers in 94. There is part of me that would like to see NBC make a go of it. I mean, they typically do a good job with their sports coverage and everything. I don't know how they do it with talent and everything, but I am intrigued by the prospect of them coming back into the game.
It'll be nice. It'll be different, but it'll be sad. Like when the NBA officially goes away, you'll have a lot of people sad. And then we'll get a nice little 3 or 4 day period where everyone shares their favorite clips, and then we'll do that again a year from now, and we'll live on TikTok and X and Instagram Reels.
It'll probably be emotional if those guys, if they like end the show. I mean,
and have like a farewell episode.
Yeah, have a farewell episode. That'll be there's going to be probably some form of farewell anyway if Ernie's sticking with TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're acting like this is all again a done deal, but by all accounts, it doesn't sound like Warner Brothers Discovery at the moment has the money to get into the game the way that NBC wants to, and it's going to be all about money.
Damn, Bob's calling him broke. It's tough.
A lot of debt.
NBC, it's one thing to get outbid by Amazon. It's another thing to get outbid by NBC. That's been surprising. But like, it does seem like NBC, who, you know, Peacock's not the worst of the streaming apps. Like, that goes to Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus is by far the worst. But like, Peacock's a lower tier, I feel like, but maybe they kind of timed this right in terms of not overpaying for stuff at the beginning and not overpaying for content, because now maybe they have some money to lay around. And, of course, they pointed up for NFL playoff games, which were a huge hit.
Yeah.
Well, and then now, you know, going to maybe pony up for live basketball too.
Yeah, and that's the one thing we didn't even mention that really is intriguing, because we've talked again about this notion of it was going to be Fox, ESPN, and Warner Brothers Discovery doing their streaming super product, whatever you want to call it. The thing that was bringing Warner Brothers Discovery into that game was the NBA. Mm-hmm. If NBC gets it, there's already talk that's been reinvigorated again about Peacock and Paramount Plus combining their streaming product. If that happens, that is a huge blow to the Warner Brothers ESPN Fox offering, because then between Paramount Plus and Peacock, if they're combined, you have a good bulk of college basketball, you have the NFL, you could have parts of the NBA now. I mean, that totally changes the complexion of this. Could be good for consumers, but it's
nothing's good for consumers, Bob. The price is just going to go up. We're going to be paying more money. Nothing's good for consumers.
No, but I think you're getting closer and closer to a time where you really won't have to have cable, or even a YouTube TV. If this happens, I'm not even sure you need YouTube TV.
So we're going to have to pay for more in the time being, but then maybe it all busts and, hey, we got everything we need. But yeah. Like until then, they're going to squeeze every dollar, but then you'll have some fold and you'll
– yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's nice to have live TV when it comes to the playoffs, although I'm getting more and more accustomed to just having a little bit of a delay. And maybe I should thank Elon, because like my Twitter experience hasn't been as nice when it comes to like live tweets and like refreshing and stuff. So like you don't feel as connected during games. Like you can be on a couple minute delay because the timeline's all out of order anyway. So like maybe that's it. I pretty much stay off of there while games are going on anyways. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was like what was keeping me with the live sports, was being like live betting and like being
thinking you had a little leg up on the competition.
Well, it's like, no, I was just, no, like, live, well, I mean, like, yeah, live TV, like, I mean, like, yeah, if you're on a 10-second delay or 20-second delay, like, yeah, like, you know, the FanDuel app, the Caesar app, all those are already ahead of you, like, refreshing the score probably a good 10 seconds before it happens on TV. But when you're watching, like, on a delay, it's like 45 seconds.
Yeah. You're two plays behind.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, I mean, like, yeah, like, it does hurt. So if you're trying to watch a football game, especially, like, that's part of the reason I would keep it, but you know, maybe just get rid of it, and that's not worth $150 a month. Especially because, like I said, the community of X and Twitter doesn't seem to be the same during these big events, anyways. Okay, we'll keep you up to speed on Inside the NBA. I thought we'd get an update this weekend. We didn't get one, so maybe it comes out in the next couple of days.
The last thing I'll say before we hit break is just think about it. You know, I'm thinking about you, too, being a big WWE fan. If Raw goes to Netflix, if you can imagine, all your live sports could end up being on, like, three apps.
That sounds like a miserable existence, man, because I like changing the channel. And I told you I didn't get to watch the Kentucky Derby because I didn't want to change off the app to go to watch the Kentucky Derby on cable TV. So I missed it, and it was fine. Like, it's not something I actually cared about, but, like,
whoever can create a multi-view for all of these different apps is going to be sick.
Yeah. Bob, get a touch of your people. Cut that out of the podcast, Jace. That might be our billion-dollar idea. Like, we got to find a way to just have – yeah, because, I mean, you're 100% right. Like, that's why I still have cable.
Have you tried out the Max app at all for sports?
I have not tried it for sports.
It just feels to me like it kind of simplifies it, honestly. Namely because they put – in the past, I'm thinking like NCAA tournament and everything, they put so many things on True and – TBS and TNT, then you got to be scrolling all the way through. To me, it felt a little easier to just navigate one app, not having to jump over channels and a channel guide, all that stuff. I think there's some promise there, but it'll be different for different people, too.
Because sure. I hate having to have ESPN Plus on my phone and something on TV. It's just miserable. I hate it.
Don't even enter ESPN Plus in the conversation. That's trash, man.
I know, but that's how I got to watch my Vols, the number one team in the country, play. And, like, you can't – half the time when I actually, like, try to minimize it, just closes. You can't exit the app and keep the video running, like, so you can send a text or something. Like, it's stupid. It's very, very stupid, and it makes me mad.
But it, like, works the best on your phone, too.
100%.
You know, like, it works even – it's even worse on your TV.
I got it working on my TV, and I was like, okay, don't touch it. Yeah. Don't change the channel. Don't do anything. Just leave it.
That's funny.
You'll get randomly signed out by your provider.
It's stupid. It's so dumb. We'll talk some Tom Brady roast, best jokes. I haven't forgotten, Sam, that College World Series record either, a college, home run record. So have that. I do want to update on that.
Still got that, yeah.
Stick with us. Last call on the other side. My friends all fall so easily. Last call here on the program. All right, Sam, the single season home run record in college baseball is what?
Yeah, so he tied it from Jack Caglione last year, obviously tied it in terms of the BB Corps record at 33. He's going after a guy, Pete Incaviglia from Oklahoma State. He had 48 home runs back in 1985.
Oh, Incaviglia.
Incaviglia, thank you, Bob. Also, the SEC record is 40 home runs by Brandon Larson in 97 from LSU. So that 40-run mark is probably what I think is probably more attainable for him. 48 would be pretty incredible if he could get that. But I think he's definitely got a good shot of setting that SEC record at 40-plus.
88 movies, according to Rotten Tomatoes. 88 animated movies with at least 70% okay. Rotten Tomatoes.
Maybe those experts need to get going on B-movie. It's a good movie.
Minions, The Rise of Gru, coming in at the number 88 spot. That's wrong. Just behind Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs at 71%.
God, those are all movies I've seen.
Couple hundreds, though. At the top, you got Toy Story 2, Toy Story 1.
Classics.
Finding Nemo at 95. How to Train a Dragon or Your Dragon.
What?
Inside Out. Toy Story 3 at 98%. Zootopia, Up. Toy Story 4 and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Those are your top 10, according to this ranking.
Some of those aren't as good as B-movie. Most of them are better, though, for sure.
I haven't seen Zootopia. I haven't seen Inside Out or How to Train Your Dragon.
Me neither.
The other ones I feel like are pretty solid.
How to Train Your Dragon is good. I got to say, Up. I got a little teared up at it.
Up's a good movie. Come on. That's a good movie. That's a tearjerker.
Yeah. No, Up's great.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it. I meant to have it on my best of the week last week, but, well, sort of. But did you see the Airbnb? I guess in the quest to, like, get people back on their side because everyone's kind of tired of Airbnb, they are building a house that floats with balloons you can stay in it, like,
wow.
Up.
No, I'm so down for that.
They are going to rent out a floating house and also, like, the X-Men mansion, I guess, like, where they film the X-Men movies. Like, you can maybe stay there. I don't know exactly how they're going to do this floating house thing. I don't know how they're going to do it. They said they're going to hold it by a crane, but that still seems scary. That was in the news last week. I guess we'll wait on more details. But I think it's cool when movie houses, I guess, get put into places. They did that with the Scream house from the movie Scream, where the final act happens. And like Halloween week, you could go and, like, stay the night there. I thought that was kind of cool.
But then you get like the family that lives in the Breaking Bad house, and they have like a fence outside there, and they're just so like
they hate it.
Yeah, they hate it.
I know the Sopranos house was just like a real house that like they were just renting to HBO, which they probably made a lot of money just renting it to HBO. I wonder how many times they could have raised the price on like rents until like HBO's like, we'll just make Tony move. Tony's moving neighborhoods. he's moving. He's out. We don't need this pool anymore. It's good.
So does someone actually live in that house? Is that what you're saying?
It got put up for sale recently. But yeah, like somebody lived
nice
in the house.
I love that house.
Like during the shooting, like I was reading the book and like listening to podcasts. They talked about like they just had to pay, and like the family would move out for like 3 months and let them film.
Cool.
And then like, yeah, they'd come back.
That's pretty cool.
That's why it like looked lived in, because like it was pretty much just lived in. All right, best jokes from the roast last night. Apologies to Tom Brady, because he did have another good line about Bill Belichick that I said his only good moment was Kim Kardashian, but he talked about Bill Belichick in rings and said something about the only ring Belichick's got in the last couple years was leaving that young girl's house in Boston. That was pretty good. And the other players were kind of laughing at Belichick creeping eyes. Like, you still got it, man. Good job. Bob, what were your favorite jokes of the night last night?
I thought there were a couple. We talked about Nikki Glaser, who killed it. And, of course, we can only talk about the ones that are suitable for radio air. But she said one to Tom of, you retired, then you came back, then you retired again. I mean, I get it. It's hard to walk away from something that's not your pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. He didn't seem to like that one. The jokes about him leaving his former lover
Bridget Moynihan.
Yeah, they did not. He seemed to actually like get bothered by those a little bit.
I liked Edelman too. You talked about him. I thought this was a good one. He wrote, "When we played together, Tom, you used to scream laser focus, laser focus. Now that's what he screams at his plastic surgeon."
Yeah.
Who's laughing now, Tom? Not you, because your face can't move and you don't have a sense of humor. I thought that was good too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
We're doing it Boston style tonight. It's going to be a marathon and someone's going to bomb.
That one was crazy, yeah.
Who said that? I didn't
that one
catch
was
that.
Crazy.
Jeff Ross said that one.
Oh, my God.
That one was wild. Yeah.
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 That was a good one. I thought Dana White was on the wrong side of two really good ones, too. Jeff Ross told Dana that he's like Michael Vick, but with human beings. I thought was pretty funny. And a comparison to Giselle and Brady trying to get advice, and Brazilians getting bleeped out of their purse half their money was said to Dana. He's got experience doing that because they're so bad at paying fighters. I thought that was a good one.
What'd you think of the Ben Affleck?
I fast-forwarded through it.
Affleck went on?
It was bad. It was very awkward.
And it was like him defending Brady. It wasn't him roasting Brady. It was weird.
He basically came out there to roast internet losers is what Ben Affleck was trying to do. And he didn't seem all there. And I got to be honest, after like a minute of it, I was like, okay, I'm just fast-forwarding because I was a little bit behind. And I didn't want to see Ben Affleck at midnight embarrass himself. It was pretty cringy. I thought he was the only loser of the roast as far as I was concerned. That's why Dana White is here, so you can learn how to bleep a Brazilian out of half of their purse.
Yeah. I also liked when...
That place went nuts when he dropped that one.
I didn't like a lot of Kevin Hart's, but he said Giselle is here as Antonio Brown's plus one. That one was good.
Yeah.
The Kevin Hart one where he talked about the coach, where he had set it up with Brady bleeping Belichick and how he had left him high and dry and really bleeped him over and bleeped his coach. Is like, you know, just like Giselle and her karate coach. She's a grown woman, Tom. Why is she taking 8 karate lessons a day? They really hammered home the Giselle cheating on Brady.
Yeah.
They really hammered home Tom Brady being gay, too.
Yeah, they did.
They were really wanting to make you think Tom Brady was gay.
That was when Bert and Segura had the photo of Brady with like no shirt on, like, you know, what made me laugh was just them laughing at that picture.
Well, it was more than that too. Like Edelman made those jokes, Gronk made those jokes just about, you know, him being a closeted homosexual. They did that a lot to him last night. And, you know, he kind of laughed it off, but it was something I wonder, like, if the players, like, actually, like, joked around with him about that, or else, like, other people just wrote that and, like, they're like, yeah, we'll read it. But, yeah, they really leaned heavy on that.
Anything directed towards Gronk was just killing me all night because he didn't understand anything in the moment. He just would, like, look at it and kind of laugh. Everyone would be laughing around him, and he had no idea what was going on.
And then he was so over the top on his, like, it was like, calm down, man. He was, like, so wound up.
Calling him the only person that was born with CTE.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Hart said that Gronk seemed like he's like, Gronk's on something else besides alcohol.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It basically implied he's up there on cocaine. Yeah. But I did chuckle when Gronk said, I know you guys, everybody just think I'm an idiot, but I am smart or something. Like he referenced, like everyone's just been making fun of me for being dumb.
Schultz dropped one too, saying ACL's the only injury that Gronk can spell.
It was
better than I expected. I watched it again for the reasons we talked about. I felt like I owed it to, you know, our show to talk about it, but I didn't tune away for the most part. I thought it was pretty good. Again, I'm just wondering what Brady got out of it because he took a beating.
Well, it's a beating, but then also everyone talking about how great he is and how much they love him. Like, yeah. I mean, it's a beating, but like at the end, everyone says something nice and he gets his moment afterwards. So like, I do think it was almost still a vanity project despite being made fun of for a while. Like, it's almost like if you do it, that's also everyone's like, oh, what a good sport. Brady's got a good personality. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, man, it takes a real man to sit up there and get made fun of. So, like, I think Brady came out pretty good out of it. I did think his actual part was pretty cringy because he went for it so much. Like, he was really trying to lean into, yeah, I'm this jerk. I am this god. I am this winner. I'm the GOAT. Like, here's how I'm going to punch down and just put everyone in their place. Like,
so many, like, unnecessary F-bombs. It was like, okay, we get it. You can cuss, like, adults, too. Like, just stop,
man. I thought that, too. Like, I thought Brady's was a little cringy, but
yeah,
I get it.
I was almost out on it at the start when they started with that whole animated thing of, like, I just thought it was going to be not even, like, roasting Tom Brady. I thought they were just going to kind of, like, glorify him all night.
Yeah.
Built that little, like, statue for him, and he was, like, inside the Coliseum and all that. I was like, all right, let's chill out for a second.
But, no, it was good. It delivered. It definitely wasn't PG-13. They definitely went for it.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see the numbers on it. I think it was watched by a lot of people.
Good job by you guys today. Good job by yous today.
Just some RSBIs.
I was thinking about The Sopranos. I was going back to New Jersey. The G.I. Jake Show coming up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.